The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has warned NATO alliance leaders that a move to lift restrictions on Ukraine's use of longer-range Western missiles to strike deep inside his country would be considered an act of war. Duncan Bulavant, a special advisor to the head of the Bosnia peacekeeping mission, was part of the UK mission to Kosovo in 99, and CEO of the Henderson Group on International Risk Management Advisory, is with us now. Duncan, we've heard this before. He's rattled this particular sabre and never did anything with it.
Yeah, he has a track record of saber rattling, but the problem is that saber rattling is just that until it isn't. And I think this is the issue that the Americans are very concerned about, because up until now, the saber rattling that everybody's been focused on, because Putin has wanted us to be focused on it, is the use of tactical nuclear weapons, which we were all obsessed about a year ago. For the Americans now, of course, the biggest fear for them, apart from the fact that they're going through an election cycle and it is questionable as to whether or not they're fully functioning at the presidential level, is that, you know, asymmetric warfare, in other words, the ability to do something very small and very insignificant, seemingly insignificant, which has massive impact on your adversary, is Russia's forte. So, for example, you know, Russia's response to this may well not be a thermonuclear strike on a target in Ukraine, but it could be, for example, overwhelming an international airport or two with drones, or closing down the internet to hospitals and infrastructure. And escalating that and taking that to the next level is not something that the US are particularly keen on. And it's understandable. Having said that, you know, you're absolutely right, your opening remark. You know, he is very good at putting down red lines and then ignoring them when they're crossed. But it's a gamble. And I think at this stage of the game, the decision is probably going to be taken that the gamble is worth the risk.
And the reason the gamble is worth the risk is because Putin is doing exactly what he's condemning the West for doing, which is taking in a load of ballistic missiles from Iran, pretending like it's not happening and firing them at Ukraine in the hope that no one will respond.
Yeah, the two issues here really are, first of all, the glide bomb, the Russian-made glide bombs, which have been extremely effective in absolutely flattening a lot of key infrastructure. In Ukraine. Ukraine's power generation capacity is down by 75% as we go into autumn. They're hitting water supply, they're hitting heating systems. So when you get these ballistic missiles coming over from Iran, which are ultimately dumb missiles, they're not particularly complex, but they are extremely effective in leveling infrastructure, and they are very, very difficult to counter if you're looking at sophisticated counter battery systems. These are the six or so missiles that it did actually get through in the Iranian assault on Israel. This included this type of missile system, not complicated, but a very big bang at the other end. So for Ukraine, if they don't counter these ballistic missiles coming from Iran and the glide bombs and targeting the airfields where these glide bombs are being managed from, they're facing a very dire winter situation. And that's the issue here. It's strategic.
Yeah. I know that Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister, will hold talks on Ukraine with President Biden at the White House. And just seeing now that Russia has revoked the accreditation for six British diplomats. So a little bit of tit for tat there because of even the threat of allowing those missiles to be used. This is a test of Biden and Starmer, and probably the tougher test for Starmer in the circumstance, given that he's newer in.
It is, and it is a particularly tough test for Starmer at this stage because so many of his backbenchers are of the peacenik variety, which there's nothing wrong with that. We need a balance in every party in the world. But Starmer is not necessarily representing a unified front from his own party and his own government. He is not necessarily the most experienced when it comes to dealing with these issues. But his position is at the moment that, you know, we should be using the UK Storm Shadow missile systems, which, although they've been handed over to the Ukrainians, can't be used unless the UK and the US agree to their to the smart programming of them, which is the mechanism is controlled by the UK. They can't be used unless we allocate targets to them, and they have been used very successfully in Crimea. So the UK has already effectively allowed Storm Shadows to go into Crimea, which the Russians, of course, would claim as their own territory at the moment. But I think what the caveat that will be put in place here, and what we don't want to see, is the use of these weapons on civilian targets and areas where there is a dense civilian population. So hitting military targets and strategic targets like arms depots, airfields, bridges, and the like will be on the list. But they will, I think, each target will have to be cleared by a British and an American supervisor.
This is all a distraction as well, of course, from the attritional war that's continuing to happen in the Donbass and the gains that are being made by the Russian troops, really as a direct result of Ukraine pulling their special forces further north and incursions into Russian territory as well. I mean, the Russians have had probably the best purple patch of their so-called special operation in recent times.
Yes, because the Russian military wants organized, and there are two things for us to bear in mind. One is that the Russians built a defensive wall, which Ukraine simply couldn't penetrate at the beginning of the summer and took huge casualties in attempting to do so. So Russian military engineering was at its best. And the other thing is that Russia's reliance on artillery has been boosted because they've managed to get, you know, millions of rounds of ammunition from North Korea and other suppliers. So Russia's grinding offensive in the east against a numerically inferior Ukrainian force is having success. And we have yet to see, although a lot of Ukrainian leadership claim that the Kursk initiative is drawing Russian forces away from the eastern front, it is yet to be seen in terms of taking the real pressure off the Ukrainians, although they seem to think going into winter, it has blunted Russia's ability to act. And of course, give it another month or two, 6 weeks or so, and it's going to be very difficult for anybody to move anywhere in the east because the fields become waterlogged, the roads can't be used because they're hit with artillery the whole time, and so we go into stalemate. What happens then on the Kursk salient remains to be seen, but we thought it was a raid, but it's much more than that now.
Well, and if you talk about winter, we'll see very little happen on that eastern front, which means that, you know, the real battle will be against the Ukrainian population, the people who are further west, even as far as Lviv, with these rockets and these missiles being fired. So it has the potential of being the toughest winter of this campaign, because of the targeting of electrical infrastructure and other things that are just needed for normal life and normal existence.
Yes, and I think that, you know, targeting the morale of the people is high on the strategic list in the Kremlin. The Ukrainian people thus far have shown exceptional resilience, but there are limits to that. And we have seen voices of criticism against the government and calls for Zelensky to hold elections and perhaps, you know, for him even to step down. I'm not suggesting that that is a popular movement, but I'm just saying there are alternative voices out there. Because at the end of the day, and this is, I think, for a lot of us who have been involved in previous conflicts and have seen how these things, you know, destroy all the goodness in a society, one of the things that I think we find extremely concerning is there is a complete absence of rational voices within the international community coming up with demands and options for ending the hostilities. It's all about what more weapons can we deploy and how can we help the Ukrainians defeat the Ukraine is never going to defeat Russia in the field. It's just going to grind away and hopefully make Russia's sort of butcher's bill so significant that Russia eventually gives up. But that is a cynical way to wage war when you're looking at weapon systems that can destroy entire blocks, you know, in a heartbeat. And I'm not looking at this from a sort of slightly altruistic point of view, I'm just looking at this from a human point of view, there needs to be a better and clearer strategy for how to end this war, because you know this isn't going to end in the unilateral defeat of Russia or Ukraine.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.